Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, yeah, HPV.
We should just podcast our conversations during the break and put them out as, like, deleted scenes.
Sean, I feel like because today we're trying to figure out what words we can say and phrases we can say that make us sound a little bit more with it. More
has nothing to do with HPV.
More real AF. Yeah. We want to be
more fire.
We want to be more about it. Yeah. We want to, like, all these more different trill. Things that we don't say that that maybe we could say. Yeah. But HPV is another one of those things where I feel like it's all the rage these days. All and yet, back 20 years ago when I was monogamous, or before I, you know, had settled down.
Yeah.
I was monogamous always.
Yeah.
If my high school girlfriend's listening, but I hadn't settled down. But I feel like HPV. Did they just invent this virus? I'd never heard a damn thing about it, and now people are very concerned about it all the time.
Yeah,
to the point where it's given Michael Douglas throat cancer and everything.
Yeah, poor Michael Douglas.
I think it's, as far as I can tell, it's a little bit like the herpes virus in that a lot more people have it than they realize.
Yeah,
and it doesn't always manifest itself. You don't always get the symptoms, but a higher percentage of people have the HPV. Than you realize.
Did not think the show was going to go in this direction. Text message. We were talking about how Wade Phillips probably was spitting mad game back in the day at the clubs in his disco gear.
HPV-less.
Right? Back in simpler time and place.
Yeah.
Text message. Once a rattlesnake bit Wade Phillips, after 5 days of excruciating pain, the snake finally died. That's good. If we can turn Wade Phillips into the Chuck Norris sort of meme, I'm down with that.
Yeah, Wade Phillips, like Chuck Norris type jokes for Wade Phillips, but all around, like, how kind of smooth, sneaky smooth he was.
If Wade Phillips were to punch you in the face, you would have to fight off a strong urge to thank him.
I feel like I was kissed with your fist.
That is great. That is great. All right. So here's
wait, a little bit of the magic gone this year, particularly with the Rams.
Right. Still mathematically alive.
After which, by the way, though, I will say it's a shame that the Rams lost that Super Bowl, only because that was one of the most brilliantly conceived and executed game plans ever in a Super Bowl. And the Rams lost that game
13-3
because you didn't even need a touchdown to beat the Rams.
That's
that
right.
day.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, I mean, Wade Phillips a couple times now, both with the Rams and the Broncos, has kind of befuddled Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. He's
in
had a couple of great
games, yeah.
great performances yeah. against the Patriots.
Yep. Bill O'Brien is trying his hardest to get everybody to move on to the Denver game, put the New England game in the rearview mirror, in part because it's, as Bill O'Brien says repeatedly throughout the season, it's a tough league where teams with bad records capable of winning games.
It's very rare that the games aren't close in this league. It's set up that way. It's a very, very evenly matched league, and I think our players understand that, and they have to know that it's going to take great focus to beat Denver. Denver is a very good football team. I don't really care what their record is. Denver, put the tape on. Once you put the tape on at Denver and you see Von Miller and you see their rookie quarterback the way he's playing, you see their running game, you know they got Vic Fangio on the sideline, like, you better get focused. You better get focused on Denver. And I think that our players understand that.
Okay, fine, Bill. I'll watch it tonight. My goodness. I feel like he's yelling at it. This is like when sometimes the film guys would give you a VHS tapes of the upcoming opponent, but to try to see if you're actually watching the tape or not, they wouldn't
stick
actually
stick some porn in the middle of it.
Or they wouldn't actually put anything on the tape at all. Ooh. You know, there'd be players notorious for, because back in the day, it was kind of a pain in the ass to dub another VHS tape for somebody.
Yeah.
So all these guys with their fake hustle would show. Yeah. So I feel like Bill's calling me out on that. Like, Seth, you were watching blank VHS tapes.
You've heard the Jamarcus Russell story, right?
Right. They had done that the whole.
They did it with a playbook. They basically gave him a playbook.
It was a fake. Playbook.
It was fake. Was like nothing in it or something like that. And they had him. They had to. He had to come in like a couple days later and tell him what was in the playbook. And he's just making up all these plays. And
they
stuff.
Put like Chinese food menus.
Right.
In
like it was something ridiculous. Well, yeah. That he might not have shown up at the stadium. He'd have just stayed home and eaten Chinese food.
I still to this day I think Jamarcus Russell is one of the great success stories in American football history. He just he arm talented his way to great riches.
He has Notre Dame to thank.
Yeah.
They were playing him in the Sugar Bowl and he threw for about 8 jillion yards against Notre Dame.
I think the one people don't realize or remember about Jamarcus Russell is that it wasn't just that he had a strong arm. He had a brilliant arm. Like the touch,
yeah,
the accuracy, everything on that deep ball. It was incredible.
You could just tell that he was going to balloon to 400 pounds if he was put in the wrong environment.
He lacked other things.
Yeah. Willpower. So that's Bill O'Brien talking about the Broncos, and I'm sure we'll hear more about the Broncos as the week rolls on, and we'll be talking about this game. Bigger picture, Seth, if you had to pick what you think the Texans' record is going to be at the end of the year, they're 8-4 right now, and with four very winnable games, I would say, to Bill O'Brien's point, none of them are games where you look at them as layups, though. I mean, they're the Bengals aren't on here.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins, even though I know they've gotten a little frisky the second half of the season, the Texans would be a double-digit favorite against the Dolphins. They're a 9.5-point favorite against the Broncos, which surprises me a little bit.
I don't like that.
Does it surprise you?
It surprises me because they were 7 points just a few days ago.
It opened
ago,
at seven.
They?
Yeah,
it opened at seven. Now they're up to 9.5
already.
9.5,
yeah.
Is that just a little bit of people processing the Patriots victory?
I think so.
And
I
it's just it's strange that it went that high after the Broncos have a victory this week. And
yeah.
I guess part of it is, okay, you've got a rookie quarterback that's got more. He's got more film on him.
And Romeo Crennel feasts on rookie quarterbacks.
That's probably
one of
the big things. And then I think you reevaluate the Texans right now and you have to look at, and it's annoying me a little bit that I keep having people come at me and tell me, well, you know, when they beat the Chiefs, they weren't the Chiefs weren't 100% or the Patriots were flu riddled or whatever it might be. The Texans have had health issues in their secondary, especially for a long time, all season long. And that's as you're trying to integrate some of these new defensive backs into the system, they're also banged up. So I'm perfectly comfortable saying that I think the Texans are going to be a better defense in these last four games than they were for much of the season because they have all this talent and speed on the back end.
The thing I would say about those two games also is I know that the Patriots game wound up being a 6-point game and the Chiefs game wound up being a 7-point game. Make no mistake about it, the Texans were the far better team in both of those games. Texans fell behind 17-13. Part of that was turning the ball over on the first play from scrimmage, it felt like. Definitely the first series from scrimmage when Carlos Hyde fumbles the football. Yeah. The Chiefs took a 17-3 lead at home in the first quarter against the Texans, and the Texans outscored them 31-7 the rest of the way. They built a 28-9 lead on the Patriots throughout the first 50 minutes of that game. So that's what I would say. People who are making excuses for the other teams, and I know they're out there like you said, Seth, I would say that the final score was very deceptive. Yeah, there were reasons maybe why the Texans won that game, but the flow of play in those games, if the Texans don't make silly mistakes in some of these games or actually prevent something with a prevent defense, they win the games by a couple of touchdowns.
This is the thing I will say, and this is where people still have reservations and I still have concerns about the Texans. It's that this offense is still so streaky. And as good as it looked versus the Patriots, it looked equally as bad versus the Ravens. You know, Lamar Jackson was great in that game, don't get me wrong. I think that I think one of the big things people are missing about the Ravens this year is just how good the entire team is.
Yeah.
I think Lamar Jackson's going to be a very good quarterback for a long time. That's personally how I feel. When people start wringing their hands over how unstoppable Lamar Jackson is, I think, you know, part of it is that he's got a really good team around him. How unstoppable has Pat Mahomes been this year just with the absence of Kareem Hunt?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Kareem Hunt went out last year, I saw so many people discounting that and acting like it was no big deal. And I didn't understand or get that at all. Kareem Hunt was a big part of that. And that offense wasn't quite the same after he left. So just as people were saying, well, you'll never be able to stop or slow down Pat Mahomes, at some point, Lamar Jackson's going to come down to earth a little bit. At least part of it's going to be that he's not always going to have the perfect blend of talent around him and the defense playing the way they are right now. So with Deshaun, one of the big questions is, okay, from one game to the next, how is he going to handle the blitz?
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually been very good on the whole versus the blitz this year, but some teams have kind of figured it out at times, or they've thrown wrinkles into coverages. I worry that Vic Fangio might be able to throw some wrinkles at Deshaun that make him uncomfortable.
If you had to bet what their final record's going to be, they're 8-4 now.
Yeah.
What would you pick?
I think they're 11-5 again.
So they drop one here.
I think they drop one to the Titans just because the Titans are now a good football team with some formidable issues and some things they can throw at you. It's a team within the division. So I can't pick that they're going to sweep the Titans at this point.
No, I can't either. I think 11-5 and they'll be the 3 seed because I think Kansas City's going to lose a game 2-11. Kansas City plays at New England, home for Denver, at Chicago, home for the Chargers. It's still tough to pick against New England, even though they're at home. They're coming off of this type of loss to the Texans. If I had to pick a side in that New England Chiefs game this weekend in New England, I'll take New England just based on the home field. So I think Kansas City still has at least one more loss. And that game in Chicago won't be an easy game. Chicago is still kind of on the fringe of the very fringe of the playoff hunt in the NFC, and they've still got a pretty good defense. So we shall see. And the other two are division games, so you just never know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.